Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we come back once again to Galatians 6:6 that we've been looking at the last couple of days, and it is a short text which says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." On Friday, we began by looking at the wording of the text, and we noticed that this is an imperative. It is a command. It's an instruction. And it's an instruction for those who are taught the word to share in all good things with the ones who teach the word. Pretty simple. About the only thing you could do to explain it is to just basically read it again and see what it says. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. But the question arises as to what is included in that phrase, all good things. And as I explained on both Monday, yesterday, and Friday, there are some who, because of the vagueness, the generality of that phrase, think that perhaps Paul is not talking about financial or material things, but is talking about something more general, more like encouragement, spiritual encouragement. But I think that misses the point of the text very, very clearly. And I think I told you on Friday that J.B. Lightfoot, who is an acknowledged expert in the Greek language, says, and I quote, "The resemblance of language to 1 Corinthians 9:11, and 1 Corinthians 9 is another passage where Paul deals with the same subject in an extended treatment so that there can be no question that he's talking about financial support for pastors. And I read again, quote, "The resemblance of language to 1 Corinthians 9:11 leaves no doubt that Paul is here speaking of imparting temporal goods." End quote. Now, we've started looking at a number of things that we can glean from this text, because even though it's short, it does cause us to consider several things, either explicitly or implicitly. And we started with some of the implicit things. And on the broadcast yesterday, we talked about the whole question of biblical interpretation. How do we interpret the Bible in the way that we do, and what helps us decide? And that's one thing that's raised by this text because of the ambiguity and the questions that are raised. Another lesson from this text regards the mission of the church, which is what? Teach the word. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. In such a short text, there's a double emphasis upon the teaching of the word. This is what the church is supposed to be doing primarily. This is what churches do. In addition, all the other things they do, and it is good that they do other things. Evangelism is a large responsibility given to the church, and that should be a great part of what we do. And there certainly are benevolence responsibilities and opportunities that are given to the church, and the church ought to be involved in that. It's good for the church to be involved in feeding the hungry and clothing the poor and helping people to learn the language of, you know, if there are people that need to learn English, to help people to learn English. And there's lots of things that a church can be involved in, but none of that is mentioned here or anywhere in the Galatian epistle. Or the primary responsibility of churches is to teach the word. The primary responsibility of pastors is to teach the word. As a matter of fact, that part of the text, there is no ambiguity concerning. You know, what it is that the church members are supposed to do in response to the teaching of the pastors has raised some questions in the minds of some commentators, which I think are really invalid questions. But that aside, whether we're talking here about material support or something more general, the teaching responsibility of pastors is explicit beyond any question. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And this is just one of many texts that emphasize the same thing. The one qualification for pastors that is not mentioned in the qualifications for deacons is an aptitude to teach. Why? Because that's the pastor's responsibility. In fact, as we study the scriptures, we realize that's his primary responsibility. Though both pastors and deacons are to be godly men of high spiritual qualification, the thing that distinguishes a pastor from a deacon is that the pastor's primary responsibility is to teach the word. He has to have an aptitude to teach. A deacon's primary responsibility is to be a servant to the church in other ways, besides teaching. Does that mean that a deacon cannot teach? No, it doesn't mean that. But that means the office of deacon doesn't require it. A deacon can serve as a deacon in a wonderful, exemplary, God-honoring way without any aptitude to teach whatsoever. You can be a good deacon if you can't teach your way out of a paper bag. But you sure can't be a good pastor if you can't teach your way out of a paper bag or preach your way out of a paper bag. I'm sorry, biblically you can't. We talked about this on the broadcast on previous occasions, and I think I talked not too long ago about people who evaluate pastors and say, well, he's a good visiting pastor. He's a good socializing pastor. He's a good fellowshipping pastor. He may not be much of a preacher, but he's a good pastor in other ways, and that makes up for it, and we're glad that he's so good at these other things. Well, I don't think God is very pleased with that. People may be satisfied with that for a variety of reasons, but it's only because they don't understand the priority that God places upon this. The only thing that will commend a preacher in the day of judgment is that he was faithful to preach the word. He's got to have an aptitude to teach, an ability for it, and then he's got to make that his primary responsibility, his primary work. Preach the word, Paul said to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. The primary responsibility of the pastor. His is the responsibility of the public preaching of God's word. And I keep emphasizing that because there are so many who are de-emphasizing it or even denying it in our day. Nothing else can replace the teaching of God's word. Well, people aren't interested in that anymore. Preach the word in season, out of season, Paul said to Timothy. Out of season means when people aren't particularly interested. Preach it anyway. Well, if you do that, they won't come back. Well, the people that God makes interested in it will. You know, where do we get this idea that our primary responsibility is to grow the church? I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. When the Bible talks about church growth, it talks about that as the natural result of a healthy body operating the way it ought to operate, but the body becomes healthy by the pastors preaching the word. Where do we miss that? It's so clear. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and Christ gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Pastor, teachers, one office here, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The pastor-teacher teaches. What's he teach? The Word of God. For what purpose? To equip the saints for what? To do the work of the ministry for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And there's church growth, the building up of the body of Christ. Now, that building up, that edifying, can have reference either to numerical enlargement or to a maturing process, but even maturing processes in time will usually result in numerical growth eventually, because healthy sheep reproduce, but that's not the pastor's primary responsibility to grow the church, that is to enlarge it, to get people in at any cost, in any way, just get people in so you can say the church has grown. The pastor's primary responsibility is to teach the Word of God so that God's people will be matured to serve the Lord, to function in a biblically healthy way, and that will cause the church to become stronger, to grow, to mature, and in time, that will generally result in church growth. But we've got, like so many things, it seems like we get the cart before the horse. We get it all backwards. We make church growth the first priority, and then whatever we can do to make that happen is legitimized by the fact that that's what we need to do to serve this goal of making church growth, that is, increasing numbers, the primary responsibility. That's not what the Bible says. The primary responsibility for the pastor is to teach God's Word. And the primary ministry of the church and a community is to be an outpost for the preaching of God's Word. That's what a church ought to be known for. A place where God's Word is proclaimed. There's a church that majors on the Bible. There's a church where you can go to find out what the Bible says, if you're interested in that. If you're not, you can find plenty of churches that will major on other things, but they have majored on the minors. They have strayed from their biblical mandate. But here's a church where God's Word is at the center, and that's the primary thing that they do, is teach the Word of God. And of course, if these other things that people think of as the mission of the church are legitimate, then they're taught in the Word of God, and eventually the church is going to understand that responsibility and take that on. But that's an outgrowth of learning and growing in grace and knowledge, getting a better understanding of God's Word and a better ability to apply God's Word to our lives, and all of that requires the teaching of God's Word. Let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. You see this? And I think I told you before that the phrase that is translated, teach the Word here, is the Greek word that, from which we get our word catechism, used of legal instruction, used of organized, systematic teaching. Teach the Word in an organized, systematic way. There ought to be a system. There ought to be a sequence. There ought to be some order, some design from a systematic, biblical standpoint. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.